5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the new Panic Room. It's the show other shows want to be, and the show that authors want to be on. The all-new Panic Room radio show is brought to you by HellboundBooks.com.
Well, good evening, one and all. It is Thursday. Do you know, I'm not in the mood for this, to be honest with you. I've had another day at the water park, and I'm absolutely fucked, to be honest with you. But, you know, make the effort. They all said, make the effort, show up, you know, do the bit. But there you go. So, you know, let's just mix things up. I'm going to bring Steena on now because I can. Oh, I'll tell you something. Ask me what kind of day I've had.
What kind of day have you had, James?
Don't ask. Don't ask. It's been.
I know, it's been a day. But you know what? I'm hearing that with the blood moon tonight, whenever it is.
Oh, is that what it is?
The end of the world. Yeah, it's supposed to be the end of the world anyway.
Well, and
so
do you know, for me, can't come soon enough, to be honest. because, you know, we've not got much in the pantry. I've not been, you know, and I'm fed up, to be honest. So yeah, end of the world, bring it on. That's what I say. I've declared tonight is Abba night because so fucking what? Because I can. And you know, if you don't like it, then live with it. And here's the thing. I got a thing on Facebook. It's just funny. You know these little things they throw up celebrating years of friendship. And I've got one here. Lawrence and James are celebrating 2 years of friendship. I don't know who the fuck he is, to be honest. I'm gonna look at Lawrence Tyler. Damien Bloodstone. What were Mr. and Mrs. Bloodstone thinking, to be honest? I don't know who he is, and yet we've been friends for 2 years. So I mean,
that's kind of scary.
When I was a lad, you know, you knew who your friends were, you know,
yes,
you knew them.
But
this Lawrence Tyler, Lawrence, you know, if you are listening, I really, honestly, truthfully, haven't got a fucking clue who you are, to be honest. So
neither one of
that.
You are making the effort. Neither one of you just make the effort. That's just sad.
Well, we obviously made enough effort to be friends on Facebook, but
right.
I think that's the pinnacle of our relationship. So it's obviously nothing sexual's happened that I can remember. although if he was around when I was in my sort of mid-20s, there's a good chance of that. So if that was you, Damien Bloodstone, then I'm sorry about the mess on the carpet.
Wow. This is going to be a great show tonight.
It's funny. I've had a day today. I had a blazing row with my teenager because he's a miserable, entitled, rude piece of shit. Took my daughter and her friend to Splashtown. And the sad thing is that now she took it. I mean, they're both 9-year-olds, and they just went off. They went off on the right, and I just sat there with all the. They should have is for us older people, as redundant parents, who are pretty much just there as to get the kids there with tax, with unpaid Uber drivers. They should have a sort of a creche area for the parents who are no longer needed to take the little ones round and go on the scary rides and make sure they don't drown and all the rest of it. And they should have this creche area, and there should be a bar, obviously.
Yes, I was just going to say that. Open bar, definitely.
Big screen TV, strippers, possibly quite strong strippers, I think would be good. and a buffet, I think a finger buffet.
Yeah, I can get behind all of that. I can.
They should
awesome.
Do that because I, you know, even when I went with her last week, it was just me and her. So I hung around, but I went round, went on the rides and all the rest of it. Of course, she's with a friend. She doesn't want to be seen with fat old dad, you know. So, right, bye. You know, we've got this system where, you know, she's got a waterproof watches on, and she checks in every hour or so I know she's fine. But she's great. I mean, she off the toddled and did their thing, and there was strict, you know, no talking to boys rule and all the rest of it.
Aw, no talking to boys
No.
No, okay. Just
and
no.
That rule is in place until she's 47, so you know, we're good. We're good. That's that dealt with. Thank you. So I got to sit in the sun, you know, I got a little bit of sunburn. Paddled around in the, you know, in the urine-soaked waters for a little while. But it's funny because I thought, I'll cool off, I'll go on the lazy river. I'm going around this lazy river thing. I don't know, I just felt like I like the creepy old man, you know what I mean?
It's just me on my own.
I just wanted to say to people, I have come with children. I've not just come by myself so I can look at all the girls in bikinis. I honestly have come with children, and I've come in to the lazy. I've just come into, well, A, to cool down, and B, because I did need a wee. And the lazy river was closer than the restroom. So I thought, I need a wee. I'm going to go out and just go and piss in the lazy river with everybody else. So a little bit depressing, really. Just a sign of getting old, you know?
Yeah, you said something about, do you ever feel like that, you know, the, I don't know, what did you say, dirty old man? And no, I have never felt like that, ever, ever.
No, you should give it a go. You should go. Actually, you could go, like, you could be the MILF who's on the pool, you know, and everybody's like buzzing around you. You got your bikini on there, you know, and you've forgotten
to
wax. So you've forgotten to wax, so there's tufts showing.
Oh God! Oh my God!
That is always alluring. Always, you know.
Yeah.
It's fine, you know. And I'm a big people watcher. I'm a big people watcher, you know. And there's just, I mean, you know, all of human life is there. And it's you look at it, it's a grim old place, really. You know, it's just like, well. So I spent a very, very depressing afternoon, actually, feeling a bit old, feeling a bit redundant, and. You know, looking at I mean, some of them, they've let themselves go. They do let themselves go, some of these people. It's just like, says me.
You know, you should be in a good mood. Tonight is our 2-year anniversary.
It is. Happy anniversary, my dear.
Thank you. Two
years of this bullshit. I mean, you know, and people still tune in. People, have you got nothing better to do on a Thursday night than tune into this bollocks? I mean, come on. You know.
Hey, we had a lot of fun. I can't believe it's been 2 years.
I can't.
You can.
I can't. No, genuinely, I cannot. I mean, we had our 100th show. Well, obviously, 4 weeks ago. But yeah, 2 years. I mean, it's like, wow.
You know,
why are we still doing this? What's going on?
Our second guest tonight, Michelle Garza. I was looking through our records to see when we had her on the last time, and I think she was on when we were still doing the babies. Yeah, when we were doing I think it was like 4 to 6, and it was with Lisa, and I think that's when she was on.
No.
So. Yes,
she's not
seriously.
been on the good shows.
I don't think so. No, I couldn't
find
her in the record.
And she's come back on. Wow, that is amazing.
You know,
I'm gonna have to question
time.
That girl's sanity. I mean,
no, it's been a long time. So I think she was a little leery. You know, so it took a long time. They're still going. Maybe they've gotten something. You know, something's right. And so
yeah,
I'm very excited to have her back.
Surely it's not as shite as it was 2 years ago, she's thinking.
I know.
Wow. I mean, that'll be beyond 2 years, because obviously the 2 years goes from when we you and I took it on. So
exactly. We still had like a month before that. Yeah.
And we were sort of doing it at a proper time, you know, not 4 o'clock. I was listening at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, really. I mean, whose stupid idea was that? If
a
you're
friend
listening,
of mine
AR,
asked me, they're like. Yeah, a friend of mine was asking me, why were you doing it at that time? And who was listening? And I'm like, I think 8 people. You know, I do remember that first show. We had 8 listeners. And
that was,
freaked.
You know, that was a good listenership, those eight people.
Yeah,
that was a good,
right.
That was a good week. That was a good,
was.
I mean, yeah, that was a good week. But I like to think we sort of, you know, pulled it up by its bootstrap. I it's funny. I mean, I can be in a grim mood, as I was this evening, and, you know, down a tin of Monster and get on the air, and it's all, everything's right in the world again.
Yes,
although
every week it happens to me, yes.
I've got a bit of gas, actually, so if I accidentally burp halfway through the show, we'll put it on technical. Well, because you're drinking red wine. Red wine isn't gassy. I've just had
it's
a big
tin
of Monster.
Okay.
And, you know, it's repeating on me somewhat terribly. It really is. I'll tell you the other thing about the water part. Just tell me, because the kids, you know, we want a snack and a drink. So we've got a few snacks and, you know, pop and either bottle of water. $40 went. $40.
Wow.
And the thing is, they search your bags on the way in. And
it's to
make sure you don't bring food and drink in. It's well, seriously, because you can't even take your own bottle of water in. Then you've got to pay $3.49 for a bottle of water. I pay just a little bit over that for 32 bottles of water at HGV.
Right?
It's just like, you can see where they make their money. It's ridiculous.
It is, yeah.
Well, but the kiddies had a good time, no matter how depressed I was. I'm all miserable now. Anywho, yes. So, Oh, what's going on tonight? Any ideas?
Why? Why do you do this to me all the time now? Well, I already mentioned our second guest, Michelle Garza, and I'm excited to
I've been wanting to talk to. He's ringing from South Africa. Hopefully, I pronounced that right. Rainier Poland, and hopefully, I pronounced his surname. But we would say Rainier Poland, where I'm from.
Right.
But I shall put the bit of flourish. So Rainier Poland, I think it's obviously.
That sounds very fancy that way. I like that.
It doesn't it just? That sounds great. But Rainier Poland, in fact, to be fair, where I was born in Yorkshire, nobody would be called Rainier, to be honest. Ever. It's Jim. It's Jim, Dave, Chris, Joe. That's it. You know, none of your fancy names. Don't have a fancy name. Think on. You know, so.
I like it. I think we should have him say his name a few times, and I'm gonna sit back and listen to him talk. And I'm thinking he's gonna have a really awesome accent,
I'm not sure. I don't think we've had anyone from. Have we had someone from South Africa yet?
We have a couple. One. We've had.
Have we? See how much attention I pay.
What was her name? Ashley Jean somebody. Oh my God, I feel horrible. I can't remember her last name. She was from South Africa.
Don't feel bad. I can't remember her at all.
Pepper.
To be honest.
I think Pepper Winters.
Pepper. Was she South African?
Yeah.
I thought she
Something
was New
like
Zealand.
That.
I thought it was New Zealand, which is not. It's next door, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's close enough. It's close.
I was horrible on geography.
The reason for that is because you're American.
I know.
Your average American, to be fair, so what if they can find the feet in a snowstorm, to tell you the truth? But most Americans don't know anything outside of America because they don't care.
No.
They do not give a shit.
I can get behind that statement. I mean, not that I agree, but I mean, no, but I don't think we're taught it or something.
You are taught. There's America and there's
no.
That's why you have a World Series with nobody else in it because that. Oh, it doesn't matter. forget it. Yeah. But, to be fair, it's funny. I mean, I'll speak to people. Obviously, they pick up anyone from England. If I say I'm from Yorkshire, they just look like, huh? They just look at me like I've just done a big shit on their trousers. And sometimes I'll say England. Oh, hi, yeah, we went to England, lad. That's in London, isn't it? No. No, it's not, really. And then of course, I said, do you know the Queen? Have you met the Beatles?
Seriously.
Yeah. I've had those questions. Seriously. Do you know any rock stars?
Because
there's me, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones. That's it. That's all that lives in England.
And the Queen.
You know.
And the Queen. Yeah, exactly.
Queenie. Old Queenie. You know, and it's just like, you know. But, and they
that
think
would have
because,
been a cool
because
dinner party.
That would be the best dinner party ever.
I want an invite.
Because they've been to London. They've seen England. Mm-hmm. I've come to Houston. I've seen all there is to see in America. I don't need to go anywhere else. I've seen it. And London is, to be fair, the thing that people don't realise, all the stuff they go and see, it's for the tourists. It's like going to Disney World. It's for the tourists. It's not real England. It's all the pageantry and all the fancy marching up and down crap. It's for the tourists. It's to milk you out of your money, people. That's why if you go to ye old English pubby, the Red Lion or whatever it is, typical English pub, you know, in the tourist area, you will pay at least three times more for your pint of warm flat beer than you do if you literally go a few streets down off the beaten track. Although now, the way London is, you do that, you're more than likely to get knifed to death. So, That's how we tackle gun crime over there. We made certain handguns are illegal. We basically took the guns away, and they've just gone stabbing each other now. So, you know, swings and roundabouts, really, isn't it?
I don't know why that made me laugh so hard.
No, so look it up. Knife crime is. I mean,
to
be fair,
down, but they just stab them.
The big thing over there is that they've been reducing because to cut costs have been reducing the police. You know, Bobby's on the beat, basically, in London. And literally, exponentially, crime has gone up. And they've got this new mayor who's a proper liberal wet blanket. And you know, I don't understand. I want to be like New York. What did New York do? What did they do to stamp out crime? They stuck more police out there. Zero tolerance, more police. Not, you know, in England we have these like pretend police people. Seriously, community support officers. They have no powers. They've got a nice uniform, nifty uniform. No powers, no weapons. I don't think they can even carry a taser or a baton.
Wow.
Nothing. But they're there, and these people just get, people just either laugh at them or beat them up. I mean, you know, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, is that anything different than like a citizen's arrest or something? It doesn't sound like anything different.
It would be like me going, I say, Mr. Badman there with the sword of shotgun, yeah, robbing that jewelry store, do desist and come with me to the police station forthwith. Let's see what happens.
Sure.
Let's just see.
Sure.
Let's see it. Yes, I have seen the error of my ways. I'm going to give up crime now. You know, what we need to arm the police force. We need more of them and zero tolerance, you know. But
I'm
not over there, so not my problem, to be honest.
Right?
Not my problem, so. But it is, it's sad to see. It is sad to see it. But hey, we had a royal wedding this year, so that makes everything better.
Sure it does. I didn't watch that, by the way. I didn't watch
it. The last one I watched was Charles and Di, and look how that turned out. So, you know, maybe. Yeah. We got a day off when Andrew married Fergie. That was grim, but anywho. Anywho. So, okay. I think he's probably sick of waiting now. We shall bring on Rainier and do all the nonsense. Hello. Yeah, well, no,
hello.
You don't have to woo Xtina because it's done
I
for
like
you now.
Though.
Oh, yeah, man. Rainier,
hello, guys. Happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce your name correctly, sir?
Yes. It's actually, if you say it in Afrikaans, it's Rainier. But most English people just refer to it as Rainier or Rainier.
Rainier.
I was named after Prince. Yeah, I was named after Prince Rainier from Monaco. So.
Wow.
Oh, awesome! That was another sort of royal marriage that sort of ended badly, isn't it?
To be honest, it ended very badly.
Well, it did for Gracie. I mean, you know, she obviously drove a car off a mountain, you know, which is not something to. Don't try that at home, kids.
And to touch on your questions about. People always ask me if I knew Nelson Mandela, and they ask me if we have cars in South Africa. And
excellent.
The other question I once got was, when you grow up, do you turn black?
Oh my gosh, somebody asked you that before? Wow.
Somebody
asked
me that, an American.
I was going to say, I'll guarantee it was an American that asked you that. Damn.
That was an American. It all turned black.
You know, I'm going to blame the fluoride in the water. Okay, I'm going to blame that. That's why we're all so dumb. It really. And I, yeah, okay. So I have to blame it on something.
I think, to be fair, they should start putting polonium in the water and that'll sort a lot out. Be honest.
Wow.
So, Rainier is here to talk to us about
me on
his.
The show.
You are more than okay. Do you know, it is great. It's great when obviously you and I have corresponded a lot over the past year-ish about your book War Game, and it's always a treat for me to actually get to chat, to actually speak to some of, you know, the authors come on who I've only ever emailed and, you know, messaged. So no, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you for coming on the show. Obviously, Rainier is here to talk to us about War Game, a book that I know incredibly well. So I work with Rainier on this one to get it all polished up.
Yes.
So, but I'm not going to spoil it. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, War Game is basically based on my sociological studies. It's basically based on what people would do in a situation if they're trapped and faced with severe violence and severe sort of grotesque violence, and how the characters sort of survive and not survive. Like you said on a previous show that it's almost like Game of Thrones, and it's almost like that. Characters die and you don't expect certain characters to survive. And I think it's important that I created the narrative for each character, that they have a backstory. So you fall in love with them and then you lose them. So
I know, I have to say that you bastard. You absolute bastard for that. Because she's the one, she's gonna see it through the end, and then the next minute she's sort of, you know, dead. It's like, oh well, fair enough.
Yes,
I liked her.
Yeah, that's basically I wanted the plot to be different, and I wanted the plot to change. You know, I wanted it to have accentuation. You know, and I wanted the characters to really exist and experience war game. So that's basically.
No, it's good. Yeah, no, I mean it is good. I mean, it like you say, it certainly keeps you on your toes.
Thanks.
It did with me. Instead of getting complacent, I mean, a lot, you know, so it's like with a lot of movies, you know who the hero is and blah, 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 you know, but then it just, and then there's the twists and turns are just, you know, you just sort of getting, you don't allow the reader to sort of get complacent, because you start thinking, you're settling into it, and then, sorry, go on.
I love the whole anti-hero effect in literature. You know, I love anti-heroes, so I think that's sort of how I did it. And the ending as well, which I'm not giving away, but the ending is a cliffhanger. You know, it's open to interpretation.
Do you know, I have to say, and you know, it was something I when I first read it, I was going to pull you up on that, but you can't do that.
It
was very, very brave of you to do it, and it works. And it doesn't leave you thinking, well, this is a shameless lead into the sequel. It sort of it does leave you wanting more. In fact, I tell you
Thank
who
you.
Did this really well was, I don't know if you ever read Blake Crouch's Wayward Pines. It was a series of three that made it. The TV series was fantastic. You get to the end of the first book and it is wider. Obviously, there's a sequel, but it's great because you just, because you're that involved, that invested in it, and you managed to do that. And I applaud that. You know, you were very brave to finish it
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I had five different endings, and I thought to myself, the ending I had, you know, was a cop out, but then I decided to just use it and just go for it and see what happens, you know.
Wow. Well, I want to know more. I want to hear more. Do you have a reading for us?
Yes, I have an excerpt for you. It's not very long, but it's I have an excerpt from the beginning.
Okay.
May I go ahead?
You go for it. The airwaves are yours, sir.
Okay. The Murray Building was a decrepit relic from the 70s. 10 apartments per floor, 5 floors up. The disillusioned and breadliners lived there. It kept an hour of harm's way on the streets. Plus, the owner of the Murray Building kept his rent low and the lights on. At night, the building looked like a skeleton. Each apartment's light appeared to be frozen in time, like jagged rows of yellow teeth. And during the day, the Murray Building resembled a slab of concrete vomited by a skyscraper. It wasn't a pleasant building to live in. The superintendent, Mr. Karpov, worked the hallways like a prison guard, threatening individuals who stepped out of line, each transgression changing with the seasons. One couldn't keep a light on past 12, or one's doors had to be locked from 8 p.m. onwards. Mr. Karpov always had an excuse. If someone did step out of line, Karpov would charge them a nominal fee to assure their safety from the Russian mafia. There was no Russian mafia. Karpov used the money to fuel his drug trade in the basement. That's the opening.
Awesome. Awesome.
But,
and
thank you.
To be fair, it doesn't really give the reader, you know, a flavour of what's... I mean, you start very sort of almost like, you know, da-di-da, you know, everything's, you know, it's a bit of a grubby old building and everything. And then when it starts, it's just non-stop, you know, it's just, yeah.
that's why I decided to just start at the beginning for this, because I don't want to give away the action.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I think, I mean, I've likened it to the Belko experiment and Mayhem, which are two
brilliant
movies. Same sort of social experiment ideas. And it's even got elements of The Purge in it as well. And there's a new Purge out. They're really milking that franchise to death now. There's a new Purge out at the moment. This is like the one before that was the one before this one was like the last Purge. They've gone back now, the first Purge, and then I don't know what they're going to do next. Mm. I mean, they could just do, you know, I don't know.
I like the idea behind the franchise, but I was not really a fan really of any of the movies. But the idea, I think the idea is just great. But for some reason, the movies just
the first
got a little
one.
Flat. It was okay. It was just okay for me. I was not a huge fan.
I think, yeah, the first one, like you say, it was a great idea, but it just became just another home invasion movie. You know, it's just really. We've seen that.
I want to see more.
That's been done a lot better with the likes of Funny Games and Strangers.
Funny Games is one of the best movies ever.
Yeah, I've finally, it's actually on Rainier's recommendation, I've finally tracked down a copy of the original Funny Games. I mean, the remake was great, so I'm looking forward. I forgot, was it Swedish, Norwegian or something? I can't remember what country
it's
made
Swedish.
In. Swedish. I'm really looking forward to that, because I can imagine it's you know, 10 times better having not been watered down by Hollywood.
Definitely is one of the best films I've ever watched.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I might even watch it tonight after the show. So there.
Awesome.
So obviously, I mean, we've touched on a few things, Rainey. I mean, what are your biggest influences?
For the book or just for writing?
For writing, generally.
I would say sociology, understanding human nature. Understanding, you know, because I come from an apartheid country, you know, so for me it's about understanding human nature, and it's about writing about human nature. It's writing about the human condition and what makes us tick and what makes us cause violence towards others. But my literary influences would be Battle Royale is War Games sort of homage to Battle Royale.
Yeah.
It's one of my biggest influences, you know, and High Rise by Jane Ballard. But I'm not a fan of Stephen King, sorry for that. But I have a lot of influence from film, because I was a film reviewer, so movies for me is my biggest influence. I would use something like Funny Games or kind of Amores Perros, and I would use that as inspiration for a book.
Awesome. That's good. So, I mean, obviously you mentioned Stephen King. I mean, I've just read today they're actually making a film version of From a Buick 8, which is, oddly enough, one of my favourite Stephen King books. You should. It is really, 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 really good.
See, isn't it? I mean, to me, I don't know. I actually have no idea anything about it, but it's a car, right? I mean, is it much? I mean, why isn't it like Christine? Like, I don't know. So tell me.
Read the book. No, just read the book.
Okay, fine.
For Christ's sake. You know, it's like I I had a conversation with someone who shall remain nameless the other week, because we are now, as Hellbound Books are now venturing into audiobooks, which is something we shall discuss at some point soon. I had one author say, "Oh well, you know, we need to audition. I want children to do this part. I want somebody to do that part, and we want music." And I said, "No, we're not. We're not making a radio production out of it. It's an audio." And then he said, "Well, I've never actually listened to an audio book." So I said, "Well, literally, I just said, "Well, you should," and that I just left it there because, you know, you can't, you know, seriously, people, come on.
Read the book. That's the point here. I will read the book or something.
I don't want to spoil it for you. It's a good. It's one of his. I don't know when he wrote it, actually. I don't know how old it is, but it is one of his best ones. I would say. I like it. I do like it.
All right. I'll have to check it out then.
So, I mean, do you, again, forgive me, I haven't read your biography recently. Do you have a background in sociology, Brainy? Is it something you've studied, or is it just something you've studied, you know, as an interest?
Yes. I'm doing my PhD in sociology through Stanford University.
Awesome.
Correspondence.
There you go.
But I started off with astrophysics and quantum physics, and then I went into psychology, and then I went into sociology. So
that is literally going from outer space to inner space. I mean, why exactly. the big sea change?
I think quantum mechanics, you know, is like poetry of the universe, and sociology is poetry of mankind.
Wow.
And for some reason, it just connected, and I jumped. I still don't know why. I just found something. I think I want to understand why apartheid happened, and I think through sociology,
right.
I'll be able to have a better understanding. Because as a white South African, you know, for me, it's important to understand why it happened, why Verwoerd did what he did, you know. And most sociologists are Jewish, and they try to understand the Holocaust, and I try to understand apartheid. You know, for me that's important, and I think through sociology I'll be able to do it, because my PhD is about altruism and about giving.
Now, speaking of poetry, I think that
yes.
he had a poem. I think he wanted to read a poem for us. Is
yes.
right?
Well, I said, Xenia just totally made that up. I mean,
I didn't.
Okay,
you know,
it's
the sort of thing she'd lie about, to be honest. But,
no. I'm going to start making that up from all our guests now. Didn't you have a poem to read for us?
Yeah.
Read the poem!
This poem is for my best friend, who relocated to the UK. She's a UK citizen, but she was born in South Africa. The poem is called Megan. I miss your eyes when they open excitedly, like windows overlooking a soft-lit garden in spring. I want to find your hands in the sleep dusk well that spills over us every afternoon. You are so near me that your shadows can empty themselves into mine. You are so distant that my shadows stretch like streets to find you again. I want to find you, sitting with a half-smoked cigarette, saying, "I miss your eyes too."
Wow. I like that. That is good.
Thank you.
Wow.
Send it to you. Thank you. Yeah.
Wow, and...
Thank
you know, I have to say, you read Dark Musings, and you left me a wonderful, wonderful review that I actually...
Yes, I loved you.
I felt like I was undeserving of that review. I read that and went, wow, that was amazing. Like, I don't know, that was great. So coming, I don't know, and listening to your poetry and Wow, that was great. And you should submit to Beautiful Tragedies too. Submissions are closed, but you know, I could be persuaded to put in one of your poems.
Well, that's great. You should submit to it. It's closed, but you should just waste your time. Waste your time and submit.
No, I did.
Don't listen to her.
She's submit.
I meant I would slide, you know, I am poetry editor here, so you know, I would slide that in, and James would not even know. I wouldn't tell him a thing, and, you know, it would work out great.
No, I know.
I'm a while ago.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know someone.
So thank
yeah.
Well. Like I said, I'm none the wiser. None the wiser.
Yeah. So how often do you write poetry? I mean, is it something you do often?
Usually when I experience strong emotions, strong emotions. I'm a very sensitive person and I feel a lot. You know, I feel heavy sometimes with emotion. So if I feel heavy with emotion, I'll just write a poem, you know. It's a catharsis.
Yeah, I know that, you know, especially for, like, dark musings, most of that was written, you know, when I just was going through horrible things and, you know, sad things or whatever. And I don't think I even realized that, hey, you know, you can write when you're not really sad, or you can write when something horrible isn't going on, and it can be just as impactful, you know. And I think that that was definitely something I had to learn. And even now, there are times that I have something that needs to come out, even if it might not be like a crazy strong emotion, but it's something I feel like I need to write. And it'll take a couple of days sometimes, unless I'm feeling that, you know, that horrible, you know, strong, you know, where it's bursting out of you, you know. But, you know, the reason I asked, I guess, is because, you know, James tried to write a poem once, and he did a great job. His poem was wonderful. But he's like, that's it, that's all I got. But, you know,
I peaked. I peaked as a poet with that one. That's it. That's
but,
it. There's no more poetry inside me, I'm afraid. I'm done.
No, but a poet, it's like, you know, we don't have a choice, really, in the matter. You know, it just, it'll fester inside of us until it just bursts out, and we really don't have much of a choice. And
sometimes it gets so bad for me that I write on my walls.
Oh, wow.
I know it sounds crazy. But
that's awesome, though.
It's so intense that I need to get it out and start writing on my wall.
It very much depends what you write on the walls with as to what level of crazy you are. I've found.
I hope it's my blood.
Yeah, that was the picture in my head.
I know.
Wow.
I put it there.
I did have one of the poems in my newest collection that comes out in, when is it? September. There's a little girl that, well, I don't know. Anyway, she's painting the white walls red, you know, her blood, and it's really gruesome. And it was so much fun to write. It seriously was. I want a picture of your walls now. I really do.
I'll send you a picture later.
Yes. That would make my day. It would. I hate that we are just about out of time for our first segment. We had so much fun with you. You have to promise to come back and see us.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun.
No, thank you. And if you could just tell us where we can find War Game.
You can buy it on Amazon and all other digital bookstores. As paperback and as an ebook.
Awesome. And you have a website?
Yeah.
Oh, the Hellbound website, obviously. I forgot all about that. You have your own website. Awesome.
Yeah, and I have all of his links put up on our Facebook page. So if anybody wants to stalk, they can go ahead and do that from there. Along with the book's link is up there as well. So everybody go buy the book.
Thank you.
Yeah,
go buy the book,
people.
It's awesome.
Yeah, and I'll be getting with you soon to have you come back, and we'll have you on for the whole show because this has been really awesome.
Great. No, definitely.
I'd
yeah.
love that.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
No, thank
you.
Have a wonderful
thank
evening,
you.
Guys.
And you too.
Thank you.
You have a. What, do you know, I did mean to ask, what time of day is it over there right now?
It's a crazy time.
It's almost 5 a.m.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness, mate. Okay.
Well, five.
You go back to sleep then. You go back to bed, matey.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening.
And thank you for
you.
Joining
Cheers,
us.
Guys.
Have a great day. Bye bye. Oh, five. There's a 5 a.m. now. When was that brought in?
I don't know.
Yeah. So okay, we will be back with whatever happens after the break. After the break.
5, 4.
You know, I've done it again, haven't I? I pressed the wrong fucking button. It's one of those days today. You know? Let's try again, shall we? We'll be right back. Excuse me, I can cut that out in post, so we're all right. We'll be right back after this break.
Panic Room Radio Show is sponsored by Hellbound Books, purveyors of all manner of dark fiction. You can find the publisher along with links to all their available works across platforms at hellboundbookspublishing.com. Hellbound Books is proud to be the first in the indie publishing business with their very own app on both Google Play and the App Store. In the mood for something steamy to read, check out new erotica author Jennifer Lynn's website at jenniferlynnerotica.com. You can find James at his website, www.jameslongmore.com, and Xtina has an author page found on the Hellbound website. Don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media. Our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website at www.panicroomradio.com.
Welcome back to part two.
Well, we's back. It's us again. Are you there, Xtina?
I am here. I had to go get more wine, but I am back.
Yeah.
This is good wine. I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for my birthday present. It's lovely.
Oh, you're still, I thought you'd have drunk all that by now.
Well, you know, it's good. So I'm saving it for a special occasion as opposed to my normal $5 wine that I, you know, get from Walmart. So and tonight is, you know, our two-year anniversary, so I had to celebrate with good wine. So.
Yeah, I might, you know, I might have a beer later.
Oh gosh, yeah. Just stay away from the monsters. The monsters are scary when you drink Monster.
I already had one, so which you probably gathered. And you know, cause I was just so tired. All that fresh air and the smell of chlorine and wee just obviously was sending me to sleep. You know, so more ready for bed than the show, but. Yeah, so I'm just having a little bit. I don't know how they do it. They get these on Facebook, which incidentally has dropped $120 billion off its share price this past couple of days. So there's that. These people. I mean, people pop up, and I, you know, they said they've got 100-odd mutual friends, and people there recognise. So I'll accept a friend request, and then. It's somebody trying to get me to watch them fiddle with their vagina or something online, and I just thought,
you know, I never get those.
I
see people all the time post about, you know, these I don't know, sex bots or whatever, and yeah. I never get them. Why don't I ever get them?
Well, because
I mean,
they obviously prey on because I don't. I mean, I do get a lot of friend requests, and a lot of them are from, you know, from authors and people, fans. You know, and I have a gold rule: if we have less than 10 mutual friends, then I decline. But if this girl, Denaya, Denaya, how would you put it? Denaya Carter Peters,
sure.
And. You know, and she's, you know, I accept a request, and then she waves at me and says hi, and to be fair, the genuine ones will you know, ask me about, you know, how do I get published, and or ask about, you know, Hellbound, that sort of thing. But you can always tell, because they obviously haven't read your profile. They say, well, what do you do? Well, read my motherfucking profile.
Right.
You know, and I'm looking for some sexy fun. They say, well, no, not really. Have you read my profile? You know, I'm old enough to be a fucking grandfather. B, put some fucking clothes on your profile picture. I mean, it's just, you know, so I'm just chatting. I said, how are you? She asked me how I was doing. I said, do I know you? And she says, kind of, so, you know, we're there. I'm Denaya. She sounds like a Game of Thrones character, I think. Nice meeting you,
apparently. It was like Daenerys, yeah. And I love
Daenerys. There you go. I said, it's nice to meet her. I was always polite. Cool. She says, a pleasure. And I asked her how I can help her. So I think the next thing is I'm going to send her a picture of my penis, and we'll take it from there. We'll see how this relationship develops from there, I think. But anyway. Oh, I told you I was in one of those moves, didn't I?
I know. I love it. I do.
It's cool, isn't it? It's just cheering me right up. But speaking of... and she's going to kill
it,
me.
Do it.
speaking of pictures of my penis, it's
Oh, hey. Looks like it's time to review something. Oh, no.
Did you just compare me?
We
to
should do that. Maybe we should. What? I will send Becky a picture of my penis, and she can review it. She can review it on the show in her review section.
Oh, my God, no. No.
I bet her face is red right now.
I say she'd need a good 25 minutes, I can tell you.
Oh,
does always want to know what I had to do for my signed books. So, you know, it was dwarves and it was... I think she's thinking about it. That's what I think. That would be a good review.
It would be glowing. It would, well, not my penis, obviously, but it would. Well, it might be. I've had this little rash. I've had this little rash on it, so it might be glowing. But on the whole,
wow. It just turned into a really weird show. It did.
Well,
yeah.
Like it never does.
That's true. At least we're not talking about poo. That's a step in the right direction.
Not yet. But Becky, what have you got for this evening?
Oh well.
Come on, join in.
I'm reviewing a book called Blood in the Woods, and it's by J.P. Willie. Is that right, Willie?
It is. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know any other pronunciation of that.
I don't think you could. How else could you pronounce Willie? I'm not sure
that's
how you
it,
could.
That's what I have.
Okay. No.
Wiley. Wiley. Wiley.
Wiley. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Willie.
Look.
There you go. Three pronunciations.
That kind of enunciating thing, you know. So, and this book is published by Hellbound Books Publishing.
Woo! Yay! They are good people.
They do.
You think so?
They do.
Okay. This is not his first book, I don't think. But it's about two. It's about a group of kids that go out into the woods and they find this semi-truck.
They go out into the woods and they find some blood. So
blood in the woods. I have to say, I really, really enjoyed this.
Spoiler alert.
I did.
Becky,
yeah.
Becky, spoiler alert. Come on.
Well...
I have to say, I really enjoyed this book. I read it twice. I did. And,
you did?
I think that, yeah, and I think, I think it was compared to, like, Stephen King's The Stand. And, okay, I have to say, the first time I heard that, before I had started reading it, I was like, wow, well, I don't know about that. But to be honest.
It was compared to Stand By Me, which is a totally.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. You're right. There's Stand and there's The Body.
You muppet.
Yeah, no,
body,
I'm thinking of
yeah.
the body. Yeah, that there we go. And
give me strength.
I really didn't know.
You cannot get the staff, people. You can't.
Yeah,
you really can't.
So would you hush? You provided me with the wine. What am I supposed to, it's all your fault. So when I first, when I first heard that, I was thinking, well, that's pretty big shoes to fill. I don't know about that. But I have to admit, I put it right up there. I really do. I loved the voice. And, I find a lot of times when we have somebody who's writing a kid, writing as a kid, like talking through a kid, and if they're a grown up, sometimes they just say things that you're like, oh my God, a kid would not say that. And I loved that, the fact that these kids talk like kids. And I remember being a kid and, playing outside all day long with my friends, and I was back there, and it was awesome. I really, really enjoyed it. And then, the ending had me shedding tears. It did. And I wanted to know, what happens next. And I wanted, it was great. I loved the book. I really did. And I don't know about how many Becky stars to give it, but I would give it a full 5 stars. I mean, I really enjoyed it that much.
I don't know how you felt, Becky, but I mean, Joe, we know Joe, he's been on the show, great guy. Obviously, he evokes the 80s feel, a lot,
yeah.
80s sort of 90s feel. And like he says, what was your name again? Extina. As Extina said, he captures what it's like. I mean, we. Again, being a, but I didn't grow up in Louisiana. I grew up in Yorkshire. But I think early teen boys are the same the world over. On our bikes and
yep.
getting into mischief, and he sort of nailed that one. But with this sort of all-pervading feeling of dread that hangs over it, like you get with, I think, It and with Stranger Things as well. He managed to capture that tremendously well.
I was a big fan of it. I really was. And, I grew up in, until I was like 12, 13-ish, I was in Texas. So, you know, it, a lot similar climate and stuff like that. So definitely,
Becky, what was your favorite bit?
I liked the very beginning of it where the two kids are talking and they found the bird.
Oh yeah, that was gruesome.
Yeah.
That was grim. The sacrificed crow in the graveyard. Yeah.
You know what?
There
was a part in it that actually. Well, there's a few parts that actually spooked me, but one of the
ones
that got...
there's a lot of parts in it, because it's a novel.
Yeah, the one of the parts...
It's made up of many parts.
You hush. One of the parts that really got me was when the boys are jumping on the trampoline, and when they go higher, they see that guy who is, like, watching them. That freaked me out. It seriously did. I mean, I had the chills. And then I remember talking to Joe when he was on the show. When he talks about breaking his arm, the main character, the kid breaking his arm, I felt that. I mean, I remember actually grabbing my arm and being ouch, and that freaked me out. He did a really good job. I've never broken a bone before, but my arm hurt. You know,
I was the same. I've never broken a bone, but having read that, I can imagine it now. And I don't want to break
it was
anything.
Gruesome. Yeah, no, ouch, no. So, how many Becky stars would you give it, Becky?
Probably 7 or 8. It was good. It's not one of my favorites, but it's good.
Well, can we do like a 7.99999?
Yeah,
nine.
We can do a 0.999.
There we go. Awesome. We have a listener who loves to hear your southern drawl there. And, so you have
Yay.
To do some
oh, no.
And five for him.
All the fives. It was a 5.9.
Exactly.
And poem.
Poems. Yes. Yes, we had a poem.
Yeah. Great. Poem was good.
I was blubbing.
We have poems from him for Beautiful Tragedies, by the way.
Oh, really? Oh, where have I been? Okay, awesome. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah, that was my fault.
Say,
I'm right
that
on
was
top
fault.
Of it. Sorry.
I'm right on
Not
top
sorry.
Of it.
Says Extina, head of poetry. I didn't know that. Seriously.
I'm right on top of that, James.
See my previous comments about not being
said...
able to get the good stuff.
Yeah, that's why he said I knew somebody. He knew somebody. Yeah, me.
There you go.
He said, oh, I told on you.
Yeah.
Totally
well,
thrown under the bus there, yeah.
I thank you, Becky, and we can't wait until next week to see what you got for us.
All right. I'll talk
okay.
to y'all later.
Have a
Bye,
good
y'all.
Evening, y'all. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. Bye. I think she's starting to build a part up a little bit, you know. But
ever say y'all ever, but unless Becky's on the show, then I will say y'all. Otherwise,
yeah.
I won't do it. I can't.
Do you know
I mean you guys.
My daughter every now and then will slip up with y'all, and it
Aww.
Just like oh,
no.
it grates. It grates.
Yes, it does.
It really
yes,
does.
It does. I'm a you guys.
No. Oh, yeah, I thought you. I've never said y'all. I mean, it's just not me. I mean, it's not somebody saying in you lot.
No, I think I did when I lived in Texas as a kid. I do think I did when I was in Texas. But no, it's you guys, and I'm going to stick with that as long as I can. I do think that sometimes around here there's like, you know, stepford wife kind of like things going on And I wouldn't be surprised if there's like body snatchers and they invade your brain when you're not, you know, aware and stuff. So if I do start saying it, or if I say cut the lights on, oh my gosh, kill me. Kill me now if I ever tell you I had to cut the lights on. You don't cut lights on. Oh, man.
Is that a saying? I've not heard that one.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Wow. Cut the lights on and fixing. Oh, my God. I did
fixins.
Actually catch myself saying I was fixing to do something.
Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, we're going to have whatever for dinner and all the fixings. And I've actually picked up on that. I will say that.
That's different. No fixings. That's okay. But I said I was fixing to do something. That's bad.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Anyhow,
moving swiftly along. What's happening now then?
Next we have Michelle Garza. Woo!
Oh, do we? We have a button for that. Okay, we can do that.
I know.
Michelle, how are you? Hey, y'all.
Hey, y'all.
fixing to talk to you.
I was fixing to talk to y'all.
Y'all.
I was actually remembering the last time I called in, I think we talked a lot about poop because the last time my son kind of made me late to call into the show because I had to wipe his butt. So we ended
I remember
up talking
that.
A lot about
yeah.
church.
I remember that now.
Wow.
Yay.
I think that was the last time I was on the show. We talked about poop
James loves talking about poop. So
are you? Is he still of the age where you have to wipe for him?
I have to help a little bit because he has cerebral palsy. So one of his hand's not that strong. So he still needs like a little making sure he got all of it.
Yeah,
you know, a little help with that.
Oh, bless.
So he still will call me to the bathroom like, Mom, I took a poop, and he'll go
in
the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, God.
You just dread that, don't you? You know, they toddle off to the bathroom and you say, Dad!
You know what always happens too? It's always like when I'm sitting down to eat or something, you know?
Yep.
And it's like, wow, I really don't want to kick your butthole like right when I sit down to freaking eat. You know what I mean?
So yeah, exactly.
You know, like really appetizing. I want to go back and eat now after I wiped your butt. Yeah.
It depends on what's for dinner, I suppose.
Yes, that is true.
I can't think of anything that would be nice after. And again, I've been there with Michelle, you know, after having dealt with that. I just let the dog have it, to be honest. Just let the dog eat that. I can't face food after that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time for me. My baby is going to be starting high school soon.
Oh,
wow.
My baby. So I'm definitely feeling old. Yeah,
that's because you are.
Yeah, see, that's not funny. I'm not that
that's
old.
Not funny, no.
It's not.
No.
My
oldest son, he's going to be in sixth grade this year, and my youngest son is now going into first grade. So last year during kindergarten was very, it was rough. He was kind of pissed off like half the fucking year, so.
Yeah, awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
No, those are still good ages. I still liked my kids then, and it's questionable sometimes now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're sort of obliged to love them. That's sort of ingrained, but we don't have to like them all the time. No.
Right.
Exactly.
No.
Now, I do this thing with my son, which I think is really funny, and I guess I just realized the reason behind. Anyway, we'll go to a store, and I will grab his hand, you know, and it's something I've always done, you know, since he was little. I just grabbed his hand, and it will take him probably a full couple minutes to realize, oh, my God, Mom has my hand. And then he'll try to, like, you know, disengage, you know, and try to get away from me. But it's so funny because for a couple of minutes, it's like, you know, instinct, okay, yeah, I hold Mom's hand, you know. And then he's like, oh, my God, I'm 14 now. What am I doing?
Wow. No, don't. You're so embarrassed.
Oh, I'm just going to die now.
Exactly. But it is. It's great for me. I love it. I do. I think my thing is now, let's see how long, you know, before he realizes that I have
right.
a hand. It takes
yeah.
a while. So. So Michelle is here to talk to us about her a new book called Silverwood. Is that right?
Yes, it's a project that me and my sister were invited to work on with Richard Chismar, Brian Keene, and Stephen Kolzanowski.
Wow.
It's basically a serialized story. So we have episodes of a story. And on Serial Box, you can buy either each episode for like $1.60, or they give you like 20% off for like the full season. And actually right now, if you go on the Dread Central, they have like an exclusive about the Silverwood, and they have a link that you click on that I think gives you an extra 10% off if you want to check that out. So it was like our first time, you know, doing kind of like a serialized thing, but I really enjoyed it because I like writing short stories. It's just kind of like, you know, like I said, episodes, so making each one of them exciting, and we thought it was really awesome. Hope we get to do some more of that.
That is awesome. That sounds really awesome. And a lot of good people involved in that, too. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. they came out here to Arizona, and they stayed in an Airbnb. So me and Melissa, we drove up and met them for 3 days, and we had a writer's summit where we all sat around a table and we wrote. And Brian, he actually wrote the series Bible off of Tony Valenzuela's series on YouTube. Originally it was a series on YouTube on Black Box TV, and it was really popular. So now it's being serialized into reading. But also, Serial Box also offers, like, if you buy the episode or you buy the season, you can either read it or they offer audio as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so...
Now, I had a question for you. You and your sister write together. Do you also write separately as well?
Yeah, on occasions we have. There was a couple times we wrote short stories on our own. We've wrote some science fiction on our own. We mostly do it together just because it's, you know, it's what we've always done for fun, you know what I mean? But
right.
we don't mind, you know, every once in a while going... solo. I had like a couple, I have like one poem in the first, the HWA's Poetry Showcase Volume 1. I was in that one, and it was just me. So, yeah, every once in a while we do some solo work.
Now, what is the, is the process like when you're writing with your sister? Do you, like, you know, each take a different scene, or do you, like, do everything together? Like, I'm so interested in how people, you know, collaborate, because I've never actually collaborated.
I think it works really well for us, because we've been doing it since we're little kids. You know, I don't know how it would work for two, like, strangers or acquaintances or whatever to try to do it. But basically, you know, we'll decide what we want to work on. You know, we'll have a list of things we want to work on, whether it's a novel submission or if, you know, we've seen, like, anthologies coming open with, you know, deadlines and stuff. And we'll decide, like, what we're going to work on. And then... we'll, you know, we both keep notes. We have notebooks of story ideas and whatnot. So we'll try to pick out a story together, but we always work from an outline, basically. Unless it's a short story, it's like if it's a novella or if it's a novel, it's always on an outline. So we know what we want to do. So what we do is we get together a couple times a week. Lately it's been... probably about 2 times a week lately, because she has a new day job. But we'll get together and we'll, you know, from our outline, we'll basically just go from there. Like, okay, you know, I'm going to start it. I'm going to write these first couple chapters, and you write these next couple chapters, and we'll get together and we'll read it out loud together to make sure everything jives and, you know, continuity-wise, everything's on track and everything's pointing to our final destination. Because it's strange, because sometimes we come up with the ending of a book. We come up with the ending first, and then we kind of like go, how are we going to get there? So then we map it to that point. So that's how we work together. I imagine it would probably be the same for other people. I mean, you know, the Hess Pantsers out there that don't work from an outline. And it could probably be fun, you know, trading back and forth and just kind of seeing where a
just
story went.
Yeah, definitely. So, I want to hear the reading. You have a reading for us. Is it from a short story, the Kingdom of Teeth? Is that a short story? Or
this is our this is a novella that we had released through Eraserhead Press. So I'm just going to read like a little bit of the beginning. Basically, it's a bizarro horror fairy tale for adults. And
I love that idea. Bizarro fairy tale.
Yeah, we kind of pitched it to them as what happens if the Tooth Fairy ended up in Army of Darkness, you know, the movie Army of Darkness.
Uh-huh.
So basically, too, you know, we liked writing this story because we kind of got a little silly with some of the humor and some of the crude, you know, some of the crude jokes and stuff in it. It gave us a chance to kind of laugh and, you know, just kind of have a good time with it. And, you know, the whole bizarro thing is, I mean, you can just take it however you want and go wherever you want with it. And it, you know, adds a lot of freedom, gives the writer a lot of freedom. So, and we've always wanted to be published by Eraserhead Press, so it was kind of like one of our dreams come true.
Awesome.
So, I will start reading. I'm sorry. I hate my voice when I read, by the way, so you guys feel free to laugh at me if you want. So this is from Kingdom of Teeth, and this is the first chapter, A Kingdom Corroded. Okay, here we go. She's riddled with it, Denton said. Holes as big as a man's fist. Queen Bicuspa lamented. Her power will be lost forever. They made their way to the sick room bedside. The stink was palpable, twisting the guts, filling the heart with hopeless pity. And the children are doomed, Bicuspa added. The invalid's head lulled on a pus-stained pillow as she fought to make eye contact with her two visitors. She had once been a radiant, gleaming ivory, her flesh embedded with rows of white teeth, the last of the known wisdoms in Malaris. The plague had taken hold of her and would end her. Black pits dotted her once pearly armor, revealing her soft, vulnerable insides. The wisdoms felt everything around them much more strongly than the ordinary hyperdontian. They were filled with nerve endings that connected to the spirit world. Hers were now exposed to the dank castle air, setting them afire with suffering of herself and of the people of the fair city beyond the window. What little skin showed between her adornment of molars, bicuspids, and incisors was raised into festering yellow abscesses. Pain filled her milky white eyes. Her agony had to be incomprehensible. Even Hyperdontia's fairy queen was powerless to stop her oldest advisor from rotting away to nothing. With an effort, the wisdom spoke. There is but one hope, a human. Only he can stop the nameless one. At her words, they moved closer. The wisdoms weren't gifted with the ability to see into the future until their demise drew near. It was a terrible sign for her to speak of a hero. A human, Denton asked. His name is Plummer, Randy Plummer. Bicuspa gazed past the deathbed to the open window. The Hyperdontian slept in fear, not knowing where the plague would strike next. Her heart fluttered. Her wings hung limp on her pale back. She wore her usual attire for the night. She collected teeth from the children of Earth, a close-fitting white dress tied at the waist with a shimmering ribbon. But for the first time in the kingdom's short yet brutal war with the plague bringers, she felt the fire in her dying. Denton placed a hand on her shoulder, and she turned to face him. She knew her countenance was gaunt, her usual wide, toothy grin drooping in a lipless frown. His expression told her that he still found her radiant, even in her darkest hour. We will find a way, he said. The wisdom has seen something. She nodded. Open the portal. and risk drawing the attention of the nameless one, Denton asked? We must. I won't even know where to locate this human. She will guide us one last time, Bicuspa said, turning her attention to the figure that moaned and weakly shifted on the sheets of her bed. Make haste, child, the wisdom said. Sorry, I have. She coughed until a mouthful of black sludge came rolling down her tooth-studded chin. From where he had been waiting in the discreet corner of the room, Dr. McZillery hurried to her bedside. The exertion will surely kill her, the doctor began, only to have the wisdom raise a hand completely embedded with rotting teeth, their nerves exposed by the hungry plague. He fell silent. Open the portal, mother, Bicuspa spoke respectfully. The wisdom motioned in the air with one trembling finger, tracing the sacred sign. She then used the last of her strength to extract a tooth embedded in her wrist, an offering to the old gods. A dim blue glow appeared. It grew from a pinpoint, larger and larger. She tossed the extracted tooth into the glow, and a small rift opened and widened in its path. In my final moment, she said, her voice a powerful command with all its trembling hoarseness. I seek the one revealed to me in my final dreams, the human. Plummer is his name. How's that, guys? Is that long enough? You want me to read more?
Awesome. No, that's awesome. Brilliant.
And I have to say, you know, with all the teeth thing, and I have a terrible fear of dentists. I do.
So do I.
Oh, my gosh. I remember one time having to go for this toothache I had, and I thought I was going to pass out. I mean, not even from the pain of the toothache, just from being in the dentist chair.
Oh, I thought I was going to pass out. No, I feel that. That's where we kind of got this idea from, because we both hate the dentist office. And, you know, just mixing a fairy tale. The hyperodontians, you know, hyperodontia is like when people have too many teeth growing in their mouth. But these people in the tooth fairy world, in Molaris, it grows on the outside of their skin, too. So.
Wow. Nice.
I wish, I should have.
Yeah.
Yes, it is crazy and weird. And once it gets in farther into the story and you meet Randy Plummer, he's a douchebag that has to turn into a hero. And it's like, it's pretty funny. We really enjoyed writing him. Oh, and his brother is like a total dickhead too. So it's pretty funny.
I'm sensing a theme with the guys being douches and dickheads. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean... It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome. What are you working on now?
We were just finishing up some of the final rounds of edits for the Silverwood project, and we're jumping into a novel and a short story collection, and I do ghostwriting on the side, so next week I'm starting a ghostwriting project. So we're keeping pretty busy. We're trying to hold off on doing too many short stories other than for our collection because I'm just, like, tempted so much. All the time it's these short stories, and it's like, you know, you want to write 500 of them, and then you're like, fuck, I have a novel I need to write. Damn it. Like, there's not enough time in the day.
It is fun, though. It is. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I am going to have one of these times where I'm going to have to tackle both of you guys down and have you both on the show because I think that would be a lot of fun.
You know,
we can do like a pre-record and stuff if it's too late for Melissa, but that would be great.
Oh,
I would love
that would be great, yeah, because her daughter, like, if she doesn't go to sleep at a certain time, her daughter is only 4, so when she doesn't go to sleep at a certain time, she's like a fucking demon child. She's a demon child. She looks like a pretty little princess, but she's a demon child, so...
Definitely. You know, you're on one of our very first shows, and I just, you know, I couldn't wait to have you back. And yeah, so I've been trying to get both of you. So that would be great if we can, you know, do that someday, you know. It looks like we're just about out of time for our show. We have all of your links. I know it went by too fast. We have all of your links put up on our Facebook page, though. So anybody who wants to go and stalk Michelle, they can go there and do it. Yeah, I will definitely be in touch with you to you have to promise to come back. You have to promise, right?
Yes, I will promise to come back, and we'll continue this ongoing conversation about kids pooping.
Yeah.
First time on here is about poop.
I think James is doing this. James is doing this. Almost every week he does this demon voice thing, a robot demon. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but yeah, and it gets worse and for a little while, but it's happening now. And the bad thing is, you know, a lot of times when he does this, I get to, like, ask questions that I know he can't mute me for because he's not around, like baseball questions, but we're out of time, so I can't torture him with baseball right now. But, you know, if it was any earlier in the show, we'd be chatting right now about baseball. And you know what? I should, like, get together with a guest beforehand and be like, okay, even if you don't like baseball, just, like, agree with me and pretend like you do. Just to, you know, you're right. All right. Well, I thank you so much for coming on the show, Michelle, and I can't wait to have you back. We'll have to have you on for a full show so we can talk baseball and poo and stuff. Okay?
Awesome. Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. And this is the time of the night that James would tell me to say goodnight, Xtina. Goodnight, Xtina.
Goodnight.